Ladies act like gents.
And recite these hymns. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. And goodness gracious, B. Mitch and Finley live in Ashburn, Virginia.
We made it, Jay.
Yo, we made it. Say we're 30 miles west of the city. Terrible, terrible weather out in the DMV today.
Man, I woke up this morning. Well, I woke up around 3 something to go to the bathroom. And I was like, damn, is this still raining? It never stopped. God.
It never stopped. It's not going to stop all day. And I don't know what's going on, so I don't want to make light of what may or may not be serious accidents and situations. But, dude, the traffic today was unbelievable. I really want to sincerely credit two people. Our friend Greg Height, always looking out for people, and my boy Parker texted me both this morning about 8:30, and they were like, yo, if you have to get to Ashburn, man, you need to get a move on because the traffic on the Beltway and the toll road is jacked.
Yep.
And sure enough, I had to go to the school this morning. It's camping week in kindergarten, B. I had to bring a teepee to school. So I got home.
Teepee from JP.
Yeah, exactly. Not that kind of teepee. But I usually drop the girls off. I'm home at like 8:05, and I can get a move on, right? Mm-hmm. But because I had to do that, I didn't get home till like 8:20, 8:25. And then I get both these dudes texting me. I'm like, yo, I got to go. Like, I don't know what's going on out there, but I got to move.
Yeah.
We made it, man. And I'm really excited for today. The schedule, as it's currently constituted, Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and Dan Quinn will all speak to the media. You will hear as much of that as possible right here on our program at various times. It's kind of going to be, you know, various we'll see on the times when stuff comes in. It's an exciting day because it's kind of like the first day we get to hear from, you know, these guys on this team. We've talked to Quinn plenty. We haven't talked to Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, we haven't really talked to Cliff. It became pretty obvious he was sticking around. But, like, that process of him deciding, yo, I'm staying here. Like, I'm not worried about going to try to get another job right now. We haven't talked.
I don't think he has to worry about getting one. I think one's going to fall in his lap.
If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've told you this. I'm not leaving unless it's Cincy or Buffalo. Like, I'm going to work with a star quarterback and run my offense.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Buffalo shouldn't come open, but the NFL's crazy. Cincy, if they miss the playoffs again, could that open up? I don't know.
It could.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get rid of the quarterback.
No. Far too much money invested. And I think I don't know, man. It's going to be a fun, good day out here. It's the first time. I mean, there's so many things, right? Like, it's OTAs and it's non-contact and it's non-pads, but it's also like it's the first time I'm going to see Debo run a crosser with Terry going deep.
Yep.
And what the hell are defenses going to do with that? And defensively, I was thinking about this morning. We got so used to seeing Jeremy Chinn at all times last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he played, Brian, his snap percentage defensively was damn close to 100% because he was largely healthy. He was largely healthy. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement around Will Harris, the guy they signed from the Saints. And there's obviously other candidates, but nobody's going to have Chin's size and speed. He was 6'3", 230. You don't, it's not easily replaced. So I'm curious what.
Have that size and speed. If you may have guys that have a little bit more speed than him, but not the size. But I also think there are a lot of guys that are very, very smart on this team, and those smart guys get there a lot quicker. I tell you the story about Matt Millen being on this team.
Sure.
Matt was probably the slowest linebacker I've ever seen in my life. But that dude made every damn play. Because if you watch him on film, you saw him slide and cheat because he already knew based off of his film study. And you look at guys like Bobby Wagner and I'll go all the way back to London Fletcher.
Sure.
You know, those guys. And you got people like Mikey Sarensteel and also Quan Martin. Those are smart guys who can also be able to get there earlier where you don't have to try to blow up a lineman or a fullback to get to a running back. You just get there quick enough to get them down.
Totally. The smarter you become, the game kind of slows down, even if maybe you're not as quick. I also think – what we see today is going to be very far from what we come to see week one. And, I mean, if you remember this time last year, Mariota and Jaden were, like, trading reps, and Mariota got the reps with the ones, and people got upset about that and said, oh, Jaden needs every rep, and I think that was proven to
people
be.
People don't understand it sometimes, and I think you have to get to a point where you can learn to not hear noise and understand what really is happening, because I think a lot of times everyone feel that they have an opinion, and you know what? You do. But your opinion don't matter in every situation. And I think exactly I was having a chance, like I told you, I got here earlier. I was over there speaking to special teams. And I told them what coach's mindset of you got to compete for it. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen. I say Jaden came in, he had to compete. And if he competed, all of y'all got to compete. So when he was doing that, you want to find out what somebody is mentally made up of. And when you ask Jaden the question, what did he say? I'm going to keep working. Whether I'm a starter or not, I'm going to keep working. I understand what's going on. That's why when you hear those people outside of the game saying, oh, he got to get every rep, you don't know what you're talking about.
I think, like today, I don't expect Trey Amos to be considered a starter. Mm-hmm. I think by week one, he's a starter. I think –
You don't draft them if you don't think they can play for you.
I don't think Josh Connerly, if there's any sort of work with a starting offensive line, I don't think Connerly will be out there. I think by week one, he will be.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some real conversation about whatever we think Coleman's going to be, let's get him there right away.
Yeah.
But I just don't think these guys operate that way. And I think through year one, the way they operate, which is a mindset of competing on every rep,
but doesn't it tell you a lot about who the guy is from the beginning? If you come in and you tell him, okay, well, this guy's been here a bit. He's ahead of you now. And he starts to pout and don't work. That's the guy you want to be your guy later on in life? You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes coaches are as big of psychologists, psychiatrist-type people as they are coaches. They want to see what you mentally made of. I told you with Sharp Adonis. How I used to go to him and do stuff just to agitate the hell out of him and see how he would react. And when he reacted in the way he did, I was like, oh, coach, I don't know if we need this guy out there on the field because he's not mentally tough enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And coaches want to you're finna put somebody on the field to protect your prized possession. You want to damn sure know that they can handle the pressure.
Sure. So let's set it up exactly what happened this morning because it's pretty damn cool. And it's – let's be honest, a departure from maybe how some previous administrations have handled it. B and I were talking last week or whatever, and he's like, yeah, they asked me to come talk to the special teams. And it was Dan Quinn specifically that asked you. And you have a long relationship with Larry Izzo and maybe gotten a fight on the field once upon a time. that's just how things go. But, like, what was it like? You got there. They brought you in. You know, I'm not even sure that everybody knows they have a B. Mitch Award.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, they started that award last year where they call it the Brian Mitchell Award, Commander-in-Chief, Special Teams Award every week. And coach had asked me would I mind coming over and talk to the returners and all like that. And I'll say, I don't mind. So I hit him yesterday once you solidified and confirmed that we were going to be here. I said, I'll be over there tomorrow. He was like, you know, he hit me this morning and said, we got 9:20 special teams practice. And, meeting, and we have practice at 12:15. Which one you want to just do practice or you want to come early? I say, I'll be there early, and I'll slip out and come to practice for a little bit as well. So I went in, and he asked me to talk to him a little bit. And, you know, just basically, I can't tell them nothing they haven't heard already, but just letting them know, like, my journey. I started off, never returned a kick in my life, and look what I ended up doing. And talked about Percy and I being from the same area. Me and Revo have a lot of conversation. Tress's status on his team, was able to point out the fact that Austin Eckler got into this league undrafted,
right?
Became a superstar, and still doesn't mind going on special teams to let people understand the importance of it. Luke played against his dad, you know, and I was, at the time I talked to his mom and his dad after the game, she was like, if he gets out of line, get him in line, Brian. I'm like, I'll let y'all do that.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just understanding and letting people realize that that days of when you're in high school and college, you play a special team, that people try to poo-poo on it. this is not about that. You're getting paid to play. So the guy that tell you, oh, you just play special team, that's sitting on his ass watching you, you know, ignore him. It's very important because most times when you go into a game, offense and defense, some kind of way evens out. Special teams throws it over into one side or the other. And I believe the way that Dan and Larry presents their special teams, you know, hell, let's be honest, they take all this time in the morning first with special teams. They have special teams. Some people get in special teams where they can fit in. But you look at the people like Joe Gibbs back in the day, Andy Reid, like Dan are doing, they make a special time for it to show the importance of it. And they draft guys that can play it. You know, Revo, the dude has become a menace, you know. So I just wanted to point that out and let them understand. Like, if anytime they want to ask any question, if many people on this team that know my phone number.
Right.
Give me a call because I like talking to dudes, giving them little tidbits, things that can help them out. I don't care to be a coach because that's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
And, you know, I like swinging the – oh, I forgot to bring your club. I got to bring your club too.
Nah, nobody's playing golf today, dog.
No.
I'm saying it's all
good. No, they're in my truck.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun beating Jeff yesterday.
I'm sure. But hold on. What did it mean to you? Now, you are – you're a tough guy.
I got hype, dog.
But, like, this is the team that changed your life.
I got a little teary-eyed up there.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like – I remember – you right here with me saying, if anybody need, I'm willing to talk, help, whatever. Never was asked. And then when Dan asked me last year,
right?
You know, we were doing the show with him right before training camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course, you know, I damn sure would do that. Because let's be real, man. The guys that have been drafted, even the guys that have been brought here on a undrafted free agent contract, they still understand what they're doing. But maybe one little word from somebody that was in their same position, a fifth-round draft pick, a guy, you know, from a smaller school, whatever, and was able to play – when Larry said this dude played 14 years in the league, they were like, whoa. Because you don't hear that, many guys playing that long. And to come into this league to play a position that I had never played and do something I had never done to be able to get 14 years out of it while also playing – offense, you know, doing stuff on that. Like I told him, I think I might have played more positions than anybody in the history of the NFL.
Seriously?
Quarterback, running back, fullback. I lined up in slot. I played safety on a couple of plays. I returned kicks. I returned punts. I covered kicks. I covered punts. I was the holder. You know what I mean? So when you start looking at all those things, you have to dig all the way back down into what you did in little league football and bring it back. And Coach Gibbs said, the more you can do, the longer you can play. And I tell guys like that now, if a coach is asking you to do something, coaches are guys who are kind of like guys who can foresee future. They see you, they know what you're capable of, you might have never tried it, but they want you to try it out. Don't ever say no to any of that stuff. I was a quarterback. I was in a position where you were pampered, you know, you were favored.
Right.
And they asked me to go play something physical. Cool. I was always that guy, even at quarterback. Like Gary Clark thought I was crazy. Like, man, he told Ricky, that dude never played no quarterback. He ain't no damn quarterback. Y'all lying. So Ricky pulled up some college stuff. He's like, I don't care. He said, that dude far jumping. He's not a damn quarterback, you know. But it was very, very special, you know. So, you know, like you saw how I was last year, man. I finally was allowed myself to enjoy and be a fan.
Right.
And – it's a roller coaster ride.
Sure.
But it was a damn good one.
I mean, that's the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Is the collective, the shared experiences, the exhilaration, and at times the heartbreak, right? Like, all of it. I just
– Landfill. Talk about the B. Mitchell Award for the most truculent player of the week.
I believe. I'm really happy for you. And, I mean – it's a little thing, but little things go a long way, and I think that's what this organization is about. That's what DQ is about. And this wasn't, best I can tell, there's no camera, right?
No.
Like, there's no, like, social media posts coming about you and Jalen Lane walking down the field.
No.
Like, it was just, you know, this dude did it at a high level. Come talk to the players. And mm-hmm. I know other players have been brought back.
Yep.
And I think that integration of the past and the current is just smart, and I think it's exciting. And on a personal level, I'm really happy it happened for you, because I think it matters, and it matters to you, and hopefully it matters to those young men. I think you know, there's a lot of folks. There was a long period of time here where special teams was largely considered an afterthought. And I think if you – now, listen, it backfired one time on the Turpin touchdown at home last year. But outside of that, if you go look at that Detroit game, how they covered kicks and punts.
But I'll be honest with you, Turpin touchdown, one person.
Sure.
If he stays in his lane, Turpin is probably on his back looking for somebody to come get him off the ground.
Well, and he's also probably the best defender, the best returner in the NFL, if not the among them. Like, what I appreciate, coaches always preach mindset, right? But few of them are consistent. A lot of times it'll be like, we're going to be aggressive. But then they're not. Except not this time.
Yeah.
Like, this staff is going to push the gas all the time. And I think a seriousness with special teams is part of that. Because, I mean, special teams is the ultimate competition, man.
It is.
I mean, that is true will. Like, but the kid Medrano they just drafted.
Yes.
I had an interview with him, rookie minicamp, and he brought up specials. Like, I was going to get there. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm really excited to show what I can be as a linebacker, but
when
I can't
wait.
When
you hit size and you run 4.47,
totally.
You need to know.
He's like, I can't wait to show them what I can do on special teams. Yeah. And that needs to be your attitude, man.
Bro, listen to me. You get on a roster, and your minimum salary is, like, close to $800,000. To hell with what the people outside says. You know what I mean? How many people making $800,000 in 4 months? You know? So you don't worry about that. You go out there and you get ready to play. When you look at what they have done, you look at around this team. I was having a little conversation with Doug then before I went there to talk. The excitement. This team went from nobody respecting it at all to being discussed in the highest of high when it comes to positions and different things going on in the league. The talk of the draft coming here, talking of new stadiums, all of these
high-profile
games, primetime games. But the thing is, they're not satisfied. They're happy. And, you know, things are going to be coming from behind it.
I think that's well said. There's a lot of optimism surrounding this football team. I think there is a ton of reason for just enthusiasm with this football team. And I think little things like that make such a difference, man. And I'm glad you got to have that experience, and it was just fun. Not that you need more experiences, right? You've had plenty. You're wearing your Super Bowl ring. I know on days you wear that thing, there's a reason behind it, and certainly a great one today, and I'm glad it all worked out. I think as we kind of get into the day here, we got to talk about the hoops. Last night, I watched it. What Halliburton did last night was simply incredible. That was a dude that, to have a triple-double with no turnovers. We're going to talk to Chris Miles here in just a minute.
Let me ask you a quick question, because I know something coming up. Trends or dinger? All right, thank you.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're talking basketball with Chris Miles next. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury at noon. We're live in Ashburn, getting everything going all morning, all day long. Commanders, OTAs, who's here, who's not, we'll figure it all out together.